Yokai Kajidori is an internationally recognized outsourcing expert from very humble and unlikely beginnings who has emerged as a world-leading authority on outsourcing strategies and educational-based marketing. In just a few years, he has built a national UK client base and has recruited over 400 virtual employees for both his clients and his company, World Outsourcing Solutions. Now, Yokai recently started expanding his outsourcing services internationally, beginning with Australia, the U.S., and Zimbabwe. And within the first 2 years of operation, he has received a certificate of acknowledgement from Upwork, which actually was formerly Odesk, as being among the top 10% of outsourcers in the United Kingdom. Now, he's helped many people do what he does best, which is creating the life of his dreams using the internet and generating $4,000 to $8,000 to $15,000 a month, all thanks to outsourcing. And you're going to want to check out his website. It's worldoutsourcingsolutions.com. And Yokai, thank you so much for being on the show with me today.
Oh, thank you, Leslie. It's such a privilege to be with you and such an honor. And thanks for having me.
You know, what's really fun about having you on the show is most of the time I'm interviewing people who are in the United States, maybe Canada.
Yes.
So it's really great to be able to interview somebody who is actually in the United Kingdom, in London. That's really cool.
Yes, it's so, you know, one of the things we've learned as well here is like when you're in your own space, you know, you get used to the people around you. But when you're working online like I do, I'm sure you also know this, you get to speak to people internationally. And that's one of the things I like what I do, working from home, running an outsourcing company. So it's
yes.
a great privilege.
I used to do a lot of teleseminars, and I remember every now and then there'd be somebody on the line from like Australia, and I'd be like, is it tomorrow there? And they were like, yeah, it's tomorrow. So it was pretty fun. Well, let's start by having you tell us how you got started working from home.
Sure, sure. Actually, initially, I come from an entrepreneurial background. My dad and my mom were very entrepreneurial, and I'm originally from Zimbabwe. And when I came over to the UK, I went to university, and when I finished, I thought, okay, what do I do next? So I started looking for a job in accounting, which is what I graduated in. But it just wasn't working for me. So I then went on to start a company in recruitment. Partnered with my auntie, we started, which is actually a growing company, with two offices, and one head office in a place called Newbury, and we took the company, big, really. And during that time, when we were expanding, something happened. I was working extremely hard, doing everything that I could. But I didn't have any social life. I didn't have time at home. And I thought, there must be a better way. That was one of the reasons. The second thing that happened is we were expanding quite rapidly at that time because we are in the healthcare industry. And as you know, the baby boomers generation now needs healthcare assistance. So our industry in healthcare in that particular part was growing. So we had massive demands of healthcare workers, people to, but we didn't have strategies of getting them to work. That's when I turned to online, to try to find some help, of recruitment, how we can recruit these people and put them to work. And it was during that time that I discovered outsourcing. So I started using outsourcing, and primarily I was outsourcing in the Philippines. I was using Odesk, and that's when I, they acknowledged that I was using their services quite a lot. And during that time, I think it was 2010, actually, I thought if a company like that is acknowledging that we are doing something, I don't know how true it was, but if they see that we are doing so well, there must be a gap in the market, and I thought, well, can I just try and see what happens? And, I started a company in outsourcing, and after that, we have just grown exponentially here in the UK. So my journey to working online, Leslie, wasn't as straightforward it was triggered by two things. One, you know, so much frustration with the long hours I was working in the office. And secondly, it was because of the genuine need, you know, to look for assistance to help us with recruitment. And as a result of that, I, you know, stumbled in outsourcing, did it for myself, and I thought I can do that for others as well. I hope that answers your question. It's been long-winded.
No, it did. And one thing I wanted to highlight for people who are listening is the idea of sometimes your work-at-home opportunity comes to you in strange and magical ways. And in this case, it's, you know, you're recognizing, hey, there's these outsourcing out there, but people don't seem to be using it or know that it's there, and then creating something out of a need. You know, because I think a lot of times people just focus on, you know, for example, you could have worked at home as an accountant because that's what you were trained in. But when it comes to working at home, there's really a lot of different things you could do. And one of the things is finding a need and filling it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, my dad once, I know you'll be hearing me up talking about my dad because I learned a lot of things from my dad. Once said to me, you know, business really is looking for problems and then find a solution for that. If you can see there is a need there, there is an opportunity there. And, you know, for maybe someone who is looking or is listening to this recording or his interview, they may be thinking, okay, what is there for me to be doing? You know, my advice, which was also given to me, is look at what is the need there, what is the problem, and then go and find the solution and bring it there. You have the opportunity right there, and you'll be able to make money.
Exactly, exactly. Well, let's talk a little bit about outsourcing, and really what we're talking about is basically like virtual assistant and virtual support type work. And, you know, I think a lot of times when people think of virtual support or outsourcing, they're mostly sort of thinking of clerical things. Yeah. But I think, and you'll be able to explain this better, is that actually the things that they can do encompass way more than just managing your calendar and email.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, outsourcing we all do outsourcing. Here's the fun thing, Leslie. Right now, you know, when you're at home, let me give you a home scenario. If you want a glass of water, sometimes you're watching maybe a film. You can just say to your sister or your son, your daughter, or whoever, can you get me a glass of water? What you've just done there, you've outsourced that. outsourcing in its simplicity is getting other people to do things for you. We do that all the time, you know, daily with our family, with our friends and all that. But the strange thing, you know, with that is we don't do that in our own business. We want to do it all ourselves. Now, having said that, when it comes to business, you can literally outsource every part of your business apart from those sensitive information that you need, you don't want to let go. Or anything that you quite enjoy, you know, or anything that you're talented in, you know, you don't want to outsource that. You want to enjoy that. You want to keep doing that. But everything else you can outsource. So outsourcing can cover things like social media marketing. We provide social media managers who are exceptional at what they do. It may be media branding. It may be, you know, you name it, you know, anything that you do that you don't enjoy, you can find somebody who enjoys doing that and they will do that for you. That's in simplicity what outsourcing is all about.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people when they're new to working at home and they're just getting going, you know, they do everything themselves because they have limited budget. And I know for myself, I am a diehard do-it-yourselfer. I like to do everything. And it took me a long time to start outsourcing stuff. Partly because there is a process of teaching the person to do it the way you want it to be done, which is not to say that the person isn't smart or anything, but you know, everybody has their own way.
Yes.
And so there's all that, but I think people who are new, you know, they think I don't have the money or time. And maybe you can talk a little bit about how outsourcing can actually help people make more
absolutely,
in their businesses.
Absolutely. Maybe get you maybe the listener to understand this a bit more is, think about everything that you do right now. There are a lot of things you don't enjoy doing, but you do them anyway because you want your business to succeed. Now, think about, the value of your time. So someone may be paid, if they're doing a consultation service, they'll be paid $70 US dollars an hour, or however many, maybe $250 US dollars an hour. Now, if you can find somebody who will do the things you don't enjoy, and you pay them $5 an hour, you can see, that you literally make more money if you let go of the thing that you're doing and focus on the things that generate income for you. You make more money that way without doing anything extra. In fact, you will duplicate yourself. And when you outsource to the place where I outsource, which is in the Philippines, it's even better because the culture there is one of wanting to please the employer. So when you have a right person, I've got some amazing people on my team, that wants my company to succeed. They're loyal, passionate, hardworking. You know, when you have a person like that working with you in your organization, you increase your productivity 10 times fold.
Right. In fact, I just wrote about this the other day. I was saying, if you could pay somebody $50 to, spend an hour tweaking your website versus it might take you 3 hours to do it. But if your time is worth $50 an hour, you've just, wasted $150. Whereas you could have paid somebody $50 and come out ahead $100.
Absolutely.
I want to talk a little bit about, if somebody is looking to outsource, sometimes it's easier to start just a little bit. Like, you don't want to outsource everything. So what are some of the things that people can kind of start with to kind of get used to giving up some of their tasks?
Absolutely, yes. That's a very good question. In fact, I don't encourage people to outsource a lot of stuff right in the beginning because it will be overwhelming and you lose control in yourself. So it's always good to start small, baby steps. But before you get started, I will just talk you through an exercise I do with my clients. And in fact, if anyone is listening, they can have access to that. We give them absolutely free as well. If they just go onto my website, worldoutsourcingsolutions.com/mindmap, they will get that. Okay, you take a spreadsheet and you write the time on the left-hand side, from the time that you usually work, say from 8 o'clock right up to 12 o'clock during the day. These are the time that you work. You literally write everything you do in your business. Literally, this exercise will be very revealing for you. So you write maybe the marketing, the bookkeeping, spending time with clients, whatever. You literally write all of it. So you do that from Monday, Tuesday, right up to the end of the week, every time you work. And then you go over and look at it, cancel everything that you don't enjoy. You literally put a line across it. And at the end of that exercise, the things that you enjoy doing will stand out. You then transfer everything else that you've cancelled. That's the things you give to your virtual expert or virtual assistant. And because they are within your organizational goals, because everything that you do in your business has to be pointing out to a particular goal. So if you've done the exercise like that, you will be able to outsource the exact things that building blocks to your virtual assistant, and your business will move forward. Start with the small things, and if you're going with maybe online companies, start with 10 hours a week. and then move to 20 hours a week, outsourcing, you know, something if you are doing it that way. You know, in fact, I encourage people to do it that way rather than to outsource a one-off. Because if you just outsource one-off, you know, you don't create a relationship with the person you're outsourcing to. So I always encourage commuting like hours in terms of, you know, 10 hours. You know, it's not a lot of money and it's not a lot of commitment on a weekly basis. And in that time, you know, you schedule in between with the person you're outsourcing to so that you can review their work progress on the aspects that you have given them to do. That way, you create a bond with your virtual expert. In our company, we call them virtual experts because they're virtual experts. They're not just assistants. That bond, that loyalty, is what is going to take your company even further than if you just outsource, oh, I need the website built, and they built, and then you never see that person again, and then you've got to go and find another person again to do your e-book cover. You know, you just prolong the process, and it doesn't work in the end. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, it does. And you know, just sort of playing devil's advocate, there's, you know, a lot of people worry, I'm going to outsource this stuff, but how do I know they're really doing what I want them to do? Or how do I know that they're not, you know, they're billing me for 10 hours, but what if it's really something that only takes 7 hours? And, you know, I think a lot of times people worry about being taken advantage of.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's a valid point. And I used to have that mentality, you know, when I was starting out. But right now I look at it very different. If somebody, you know, I invite others maybe to look at it this way, but for me this is how I look at it. When I outsource to somebody and I pay them maybe $300 a month, or you know, maybe $500, depending on what they're doing for me, you know, and the return I get is $12,000, and I pay $500. Will I be concerned with the, you know, being billed a little bit longer? I mean, an extra $10? No, that doesn't, you know, cross my mind, because I'm getting the return far more than what I'm putting out, because this is what outsourcing will do for you. And if you do it right, you will get 10, 20 times more than what what you're paying for. And when you when you're working with an outsource and you show them that you trust them, they will not take you for, on a ride. Literally, they don't, especially when you build that relationship. They will not do that. In my experience of doing this for the last 4 years, you know, I give them freedom. You know, that, okay, I need the results here. This is what we're doing. They know where we are going. They understand what we're doing. They will do enormous because I take control out. I take, you know, all the rules out, and especially in the Philippines where I outsource. You know, they will work flat out to ensure that we reach our goals. And now the returns are enormous. So I don't even think about that. But then, you know, if you're starting out, you may be thinking that way, and it's perfectly fine, it's normal. So the way you can do that, but I would have to point out to you, it is very limiting when you do it that way. You know, when you don't have the trust like that, it's very limiting. Your growth, your expansion is not going to be as fast as you want it. Give people trust. You know, of course, some people are going to abuse them. You know, we all know that. But, you know, it's only just a handful of people that will abuse them. But the majority are going to look after it. In fact, in my own experience, the majority are going to honor that in a much, much greater. It creates that the relationship is enjoyable, Leslie, when you don't have that control. They become like your family member, really. It's great.
So, you know, I have a couple just, VAs, and I follow them on Facebook and watch what they do. You're right. You do sort of become a friend with them, even though you're paying them.
Yes. So just, you know, for anyone who is really concerned about that, you use things like Time Doctor, you know, Time Doctor, which record their screens, you know, when they are working, and it tells you how many hours they've worked. Use Time Doctor. It's a great service. You use a Hive Desk, which is also another great tool. We have developed our own, you know, for the benefit of our clients. But really and truly, if you want to hear, you know, if you want to get the maximum out of it, lead with trust, and people will give you trust back. Literally, if you lead with, you know, oh, I'm not sure, I might be taken advantage of, they will take advantage of you because you put out the fear of I might be taken advantage of. So if I was to do it over again, if somebody was asking me how are you going to do it, I would take away that fear of I might be taken advantage of. By the way, it's only a fraction. When you outsource, like in the Philippines, it's it's about $4, $5. What is $5 an hour? Well, what is that? You know, for me to be concerned about that, really. So it depends on from where you're coming from, but that's not the route I would take.
Yeah, and you know, I imagine that in a lot of cases, it's sort of, it can be the reverse, where the person hiring the virtual assistant can be obnoxious or taking advantage of or having unreasonable expectations. I know that a lot of times the frustrations I have working with a virtual assistant are because I didn't do a very good job of explaining what I wanted. It wasn't on them. They're doing the best they can to decipher what I mean.
Absolutely the truth. Let me just share this. I hope, I'm trying to help, you know, people here. What we do in our own company at World Outsourcing Solutions, we try to take all those fears, all those things out. So when a virtual expert, say for example, Leslie, you come to me and say, hey, I need a virtual expert, and I say, look, I'm going to give you two virtual experts for the price of one. What that means is you're going to get a project manager who is going to ensure that your project is implemented. They will be looking at your project when it is done. And you're also going to get the actual expert who will implement that. So when you have your meetings, you're going to have both individuals on the call, and you do your, we encourage people to write emails. We encourage, to use video and audio recordings of your instruction, and you implement that. But most importantly, we encourage people to jump on Skype and do a face-to-face or an audio talk so that, any misunderstanding may be clarified. So when you have a project manager working with you, and the actual virtual expert working with you, the chances of misunderstandings will literally go down. It doesn't go away because of the other differences, other cultural differences, and all other wonderful things that are there. But, the risk is reduced very low. So if somebody's looking to go for an outsourcing company, I'll say, try to find a company that has, that buffer that, if my virtual expert doesn't understand this, the project manager who understands the language also will be able to understand, to explain this. And again, one of the things maybe people who outsource for the first time found difficult is sometimes you hire the right person, and 2-3 weeks that person disappears. They stop sending you messages. and you think,
that
what
would be
bad. It happens in outsourcing, especially when you are outsourcing online. We're not going to say names because, I used all of them. I still use some of them now. But what happens is the outsourcer, the person who you outsource to, may have not understood what you wanted and found it incredibly difficult to confront you. So rather than coming to you and talk to you, they will just say, no, I'm not going to do this. They'll go to another employer or another person who talks to them in a nice way. They will come to me, of course, because, I've learned to talk to them in a way that gets them to do the work. And they will leave you if you're starting out. And you have to do all this whole process again, put a job advert, you have to train that person again and all that. you know, which is a pain, really, considering the time that you have, that you're, as an entrepreneur, you're pressured on time. You don't have that time to sit down, wait, and do the training. So what we have done in a situation like that is, when you have a project manager, and the virtual expert doesn't understand what you're saying, or find the way you're coming across as an employer difficult to relate to, they will talk to the project manager and say, like, would you be kind to talk to my employer and say, you know, I'm not getting it. So that, again, reduces the, the chances of that person saying, no, I'm not going to do it. Because, let's face it, in the Philippines, where I outsource mostly, people don't go against authority. They really don't. You know, they just follow the instruction, and they follow it really well. And if they don't, they'll rather go away than to actually come and confront it. So with aspect of having a project manager there, it acts as an insurance, and for on the side of the employer, or for you if you're looking to outsource, if you're not happy with your virtual expert, that they're not producing the result, rather than going direct to them and micromanage them, and maybe telling them off on a few things, you can just go to their project manager and say, look, I'm finding it difficult to work with, if the name is Sandra, you say, Sandra, can we change the approach? Can you see if there's anything else you need me to explain? And, you know, that project manager will do that again.
You know, it's nice to have sort of a mediator in there to try and explain things, because, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'm pretty self-aware, and so I'm able to figure out, oh, I didn't explain that right. But I imagine there's people out there that might hire a virtual assistant that isn't like that. You know, they'll just blame others.
Yes.
So it's nice to have kind of somebody in there to help mediate
Absolutely.
All that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, the other question I have also goes to trust a little bit, which is, you know, a lot of times you're allowing people access to stuff that's private, you know, whether it's your website or, I mean, I know that there's some virtual assistants out there that have, you know, bank and credit card information of their employers. And, how do people build that level of trust where they feel okay with giving that out? Here's my PayPal account, you know?
Yes. These things take time, really takes time. I'll tell you how I've built that trust myself. I now have got a lot of virtual experts in the Philippines. So a few years ago, I thought, okay, what is it that I can do to give back to the community there? So what I did, I looked for a charity, and I partnered with charities. So I'm solely responsible for 35 children that we feed daily. And these children are from very disadvantaged, places, homes, and we send them to school. We do all that. And, you know, I encourage all my clients, you know, to contribute towards that and all that. That was one of the single most important thing I did in creating trust among the people that worked for me. What it did is my team, in fact, when we do events that, to raise awareness of our charitable efforts, my team, those that work for me, are the actually that goes out to volunteer. I will pay them for the time they are there. They are the ones that actually go and speak and spend time with the children who are underprivileged. If you go on my Facebook, you'll be able to see the photos and all that sort of thing you do. And during that time, they know something happens in them that, you know, my employer actually likes us so much that they also contribute in the lives of my local people. And that created an incredible loyalty, incredible trust. And for a person like me, I like giving anyway. I enjoy the feeling I get when I give. You know, it makes me feel really, really good. So, you know, in terms of what can you do to create that, give your virtual expert or your virtual assistant something of value that, you know, they probably don't get. It may be even a personal development app or CD or link or training. Give them something for their family. Give them something for their community. You know what happens? If I give you something nice, you know, you would want to give me something back. You know, it's that law of reciprocate. I think what Tony Robbins teaches about, that when you give, you know, it's natural for others to want to give you. When you give that loyalty to others and you lead with trust and you lead with, believing the best in the people, literally believing the best in the people. You see their weakness and their failures and you choose to look past that and, you know, and consider them as the, you know, potential people that you can work with and do life with, you know, a long term. Of course, you're going to get bent here and there, but, you know, nine times out of ten, you are going to get on just fine. In fact, you are going to have a blast working with your virtual expert than when you are holding too tight to the little that you have and, you know, not being generous and being stingy. You know, all that sort of thing are not that helpful, really, Leslie.
Yeah. Yeah, Scrooge wasn't very happy till he started sharing his wealth. So,
yes.
And yes. I think you're right. I think people have a tendency to think bad stuff first. You know, if something, you know, they always that catastrophic thoughts, and you know, they always gonna sort of think the worst in people. But the reality is, usually the worst thing never happens. And I said before, any issues I've ever had in outsourcing usually comes down to just not communicating very well, and it just taking a little time for me to better explain what it is that I want or need.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. And you know, if you're running a business from home, we live in a world of trust, really. If there's one thing that you could work on, and if I was to talk to you, it is work on this, you know, work on trust. There's a very good book by Stephen Covey, I think the junior, called The Speed of Trust. You know, if you haven't read that, it's a great book that talks about trust, that you lead with trust. Incredible book, incredible man, really, teaching on that. I've learned in my personal life in running business that if you run a business based on trust, you will have far more rewards. It will be a blast. You enjoy the process than when you are running a business from a place of distrust. I'll give you a quick example with you right now. You know, if you think of your friends, maybe three of your friends, of those three friends, you probably have one person that you tell everything, and that person, if you look closely, you trust them. Now, because you trust them, your relationship with them is so easy. You know, even if you mess up and you say the wrong thing, they will still get the meaning of what you're trying to say, and you move on. It's same thing with employers or with outsource, that when you lead with trust, and you lead with, from their point of view, making it work for them, making it enjoyable for them, it's much easier for you to get what you want. I think somebody, I think it was Jim Rohn would say, you know, give people what they want, or help as many people get what they want, and you will in turn get what you want. It's so, so true for any entrepreneur. You lead out there with trust, especially in outsourcing. I know it's difficult in the beginning because you haven't walked this journey before. But take it from me who's been doing it for a while. And, you know, just try it, you know, first month, second month, and don't be too much hours. Just put 10 hours. Trust them. Let them do what they have to do. Give the right instruction and let them. Don't micromanage them. You will be astonished at the results that you get. In fact, you'll be kicking yourself why you didn't start outsourcing earlier, because outsourcing really it transforms your life. It gives you back your social life. It gives you back your time. It will get you to your goals. You get to reach whatever you set out to be because you now duplicate yourself. You now have trained somebody to do what what you don't want to do, and you focus on, and it's all a blast. It's a win-win situation. And most importantly, you're creating employment for somebody who otherwise wouldn't have an employment. What a generous thing to do.
Yeah. It's funny you say that because I really am. Once I hand something over, I just let it go. And so sometimes they won't hear from me. And sometimes I'll think, you know, I wonder, you know, maybe I should email them and, you know, just let them know that, you know, I know that they're doing what they need to do, or, I mean, because I'm hands off. So on the one hand, they must love that, you know, because I'm not in there like, you know, blah, 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 blah. But on the other hand, sometimes I can go a long time without ever talking to them, you know, because they're just doing what they need to do. And I feel like maybe I should just acknowledge that I know they're doing what they need to do and thank them, you know, and you know, when they don't hear from me, that's always good, you know.
Yes. It does sound like you have a great relationship with them. Because what happens, what I've learned is, you know, everything that happens in your outsourcing really depends on you as a person. I have several clients now, and now also in Australia and in the U.S. I know that it's not dependent on the actual virtual expert, the virtual assistant. It depends on the owner. So if you set up right in the beginning that you want periodic reports every week, in fact, we encourage every week, and we encourage having a regular meeting every week, maybe 10 minutes call, you know, just to find out how they're doing, you know, what's happening in their lives as virtual experts. You know, you talk about their children, you talk about their visit to their nan, you know, how did that go? Oh, you know, if I, for example, my personal assistant, I even talk to their grandma. You know, they come on the phone, they are so excited. And on Christmas, like last time, I did something crazy. You know, I say, it was just on the call. We were just talking. This is beautiful. This is what I like about what I do. We were talking, and grandma was at the house, and grandma came on the phone and said, oh, hello, not so good English. And I say hello, and then they put the camera on. And when they put the camera on, I had the opportunity to view the house, the house. And I thought, really, you know, is that where you live? And it wasn't acceptable for my standard, you know. And I thought, no, I've got to change that. So within a week, I sent some money over, you know, had the whole house repainted, you know, put the ceiling in it, and that was near Christmas time. And by Christmas time came, all their family came over to have a Christmas in this particular place. Now, that creates loyalty. I did not say, you're going to work for this. We say, we're going to do this. It's incredible what that does. And guess what? If you are living up here and you're creating a long-term relationship with your virtual expert and you do that, the level of trust you build and the way things move, the way they're going to look after your project, after your business, is going to be incredible. That's all I would say.
Well, I love that. You're a very giving person. And, you know, you're right. You know, what you give out to the world is what you get back. So I hope you're having tons of success because you definitely deserve it. And, Yochai, I want to thank you so much for being on the show and sharing your expertise about outsourcing. And, of course, everybody needs to visit outsourcingsolutions.com. The link will be at Work at Home Success so you can check it out and maybe get started outsourcing. And, Yochai, thank you again so much. Great information.
Very quickly. Thank you. Very quickly. I've got a present for people who may be looking to start outsourcing online. You know, we created a mind map, you know, that will talk you through of the resources that you need, you know, how to go about it. You know, it's a great gift for Earthworn. So we've put it on our website. So it's worldoutsourcingsolutions.com/mindmap. You know, you just go get it, download it. It will show you all the links where you want to go. You know, Everything that you need is there, you know, how to manage people, where to find the people, what resources you need, like a base camp or Hive Desk, you know, how do you monitor people. So we created that mind map for you. So I'll be very delighted to give that to our listeners today and hope that will serve them and, you know, they begin to enjoy the freedom they have. So once again, that website address is worldoutsourcingsolutions.com/mindmap.
And of course, I will go ahead and put that link as well over at Work at Home Success, so you can go ahead and grab it. I do recommend grabbing it. I'm going to go grab it because, you know, I'm outsourcing more and more all the time. So I'm going to check it out too.
Incredible. Thanks again for having me on the show. And it's been absolutely a blast spending time with
well,
you. Well,
thank you so much for sharing your story and your expertise. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Now we're on to the next steps to work at home success, where we take what we learned in the show and start applying it so that you can be a work at home success. Now, whether you're ready to start outsourcing now or not, I do encourage you to start keeping track of the tasks that you don't like doing, that you're not very good at doing, that maybe they take you longer to do than if you paid somebody else to do it, or that it's just busy work, that your time is better spent doing other things. Some examples might be, if you're not very technologically savvy, it's probably better for you to pay somebody who can do the work in a few minutes versus you spending hours and hours and hours on it, because those hours and hours and hours could be spent doing something that makes you money. And yes, you have to pay an outsourcer, but if you're making way more, 2, 3, 5 times more than what it would cost you to have an outsourcer do it in a few minutes or an hour, that's always time better spent. The other thing is things that you don't enjoy doing, or just busy tasks. You know, a lot of times if I need research done, for example, I'm getting ready to promote this book, so I'm going to ask my virtual assistant to put together a list of bloggers and podcasters that are targeted towards writers and bloggers and things like that, and have her pull together that list, have her research that list, and then get it to me, and then I'll probably go through and review it. But when it comes time to actually contact them to ask them about guest writing or doing a podcast interview or something like that, I may ask her to do that as well. It's not that I don't necessarily like doing that work, but it is kind of busy work, and my time is actually better spent doing things that are going to make money and pay her to do that on my behalf. So start now making lists of those types of things so that when you are ready, you have an idea of the stuff that you can ask people to do. Maybe it's managing your email. Maybe it's helping manage your calendar. Maybe it's doing research. And, you know, you can outsource stuff at home. If you've ever read The 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss, you know that they outsource all sorts of stuff. And some of it is personal stuff. It's not even business stuff. And, of course, the personal stuff, you can't write off your virtual assistant doing that kind of stuff. But in your personal life, if you need help, you can get help doing that as well. So start making that list. The other thing is what Yochai talked about really was the whole trust thing. And I really wanted to highlight that because, you know, if somebody's going to hire you to work from home, they need to trust you that you are going to do their job. You are asking them to do that. So you are also going to ask the people you hire to do that. So you need to be trustworthy, and you need to have some level of faith that these people know what they're doing. And of course, I like in his business that he works very hard to instill that and to build that in, to build in relationships. Because, you know, if you find somebody good, they're going to stay with you for a while, and the two of you together are going to be able to build your home-based career to something really, really great. Virtual assistants do come and go. I've had a couple. Some I've had, they've left, and now I have them again. And that's kind of frustrating because it takes a while to train a new person and for them to understand how you work and how you communicate as they send the call. Usually when I have problems, it's because I haven't done a very good job communicating what I want or need. So if you can have somebody that really works with you and the two of you jive, that is really awesome. So that whole part about, you know, putting some faith and trust. Not, you don't want to be blind about it. But again, if you're starting with little tasks and you're developing a relationship and you're taking a personal interest in them, they're going to take a personal interest in you. I really liked those points because you really do need to have more than just here, go do this. But you really do need to build kind of a relationship, even if it's built on a professional thing, where they're going to feel invested in helping you succeed. I think that's really important. Well, that's it for this week's show. I hope that you enjoyed it. I hope that you will check out that mind map that Yokai talked about, maybe see kind of the stuff they have going on there. Maybe you are ready to get some help. Either way, do check out his website, check out that mind map, and really start thinking about, you know, some of the things that you're doing now that maybe aren't the best use of your time, and looking at, you know, how you might be able to leverage your time by having somebody else do that. It really is. I can't tell you how many people I know who are successfully working at home, who have not just one virtual assistant. Many have a team of virtual assistants that are helping them maximize their time and their money. So just if you're new and just don't think that this is something you can afford yet, it's definitely something that you need to anticipate in the future. It's good to start thinking about it now. Now, I've got more great guests coming up over the next couple of weeks, so I hope that you will be back to hear their stories and their tips and tidbits and resources. And until then, this is Leslie Truex, also known as the Pajama Mama, wishing you peace, love, and pajamas.